Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by the wonderful Goldie Accountancy. We are goldie.com. How are you? I am good. I was at Camp Bestival last weekend, which was fantastic. If you haven't been, I highly recommend it. We had the best time. Everything is amazing. Always a nice bath. I need to post about that. I've been so busy since I've been back that I actually posted about our time there, but I did a 2 hour, well, it's more like 3 hour actually, Wim Hof breathing thing, and then sat in an ice bath for 2 minutes. But it was hilarious because I did it because I hate being cold and I hate cold water, and I was like, I need to get over myself, and I'm really interested in the whole breathing. Sometimes I say things and I sound like such a muppet. I'm really interested in breathing. I'm interested in the concept of, you know, improving your breathing techniques. Scroobius Pip had Wim Hof on his podcast ages ago. I think he was one of his first guests, but it's really good, listen to it. But I've always wanted to give it a try, so anyway, I did. But it was funny because I did it with my sisters and they both sat in there, chill as anything. And I'm like, and I really couldn't control it. It was so weird because it wasn't actually that bad. Like, I could handle being in there, but it was like a natural response for my body to just be like going mental. But it was fine. I did it and I'll definitely do it again. It was, it's a weird one because it wasn't like, yeah, it was really nice, because it wasn't nice. But it was good. And the next day, fucking time is going off. Every time I record anything in this house, it's either my washing machine, my fucking timer. Sorry. And I can't start this again because I've already started it again once because my kids come downstairs. I'm such a profesh. Yes, the next day we did this amazing yoga class. I'm turning into a right hippie. And they did like a Wim Hof breathing thing at the end. And I held my breath for 1 minute 45 seconds. And I was quite impressed with that. So, yeah, it was very good. Anyway, Danny fucking Price, I'm so excited. I messaged him on Instagram because I'm his biggest fan and was like, do you want to come on my podcast? And he was like, yeah, sure. So I had a chat with him and this is how it goes.
Work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Work.
You alright?
Hi. I am alright.
What's your name?
Danny fucking Price. Amy.
No, Amy. That's my name. Like, yeah, okay. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, why did you ask me to be on your podcast? Who's doing the
interview?
Because
I love you. I started the podcast. Initially, it was like a single parent, positive spin on single parenting.
Yeah.
But then you kind of run out of things to talk about, really. There's only so much kid stuff.
Oh, yeah, like single parenting is like, yeah, kids, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're brats.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I never had them, sometimes I lock them in the cupboard under the stairs. It's kind of like,
exactly.
That's pretty much it with parenting, right?
But it was like, I know, I'm lucky because I know a load of really interesting people, and then I was just like, I just really like talking to people.
Yeah.
And finding out about them, and so I've just kind of now just gone off on a tangent, and I just ask people when I like them.
Okay.
If they fancy coming on, basically, but I love your Instagram and everything that you do.
Oh, thank you. I don't know
how I found you. I think someone must have reposted something that you did.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God.
Wow. I mean, like, to be fair, thank you, first of all. That's really great. To be fair, my Instagram, I tried so much to be... So I never had a personal Instagram. So I used to have a company Instagram. So I have a company, my company, Blacks. It's an events company that I've run for years. And I never had a personal Instagram. And then it was just, that was my company Instagram. And then I was like, you know what? The company was doing all right. We just bought our first venue. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to turn it into a personal Instagram. And I turned it into Danny fucking Price. And then I was like, I'll just get to be like the funny me that all my friends love. And do all my character shit and work on my sort of sketches and whatever. And then all of the politics happened. And I was like, oh, actually, like, I'll try and keep it 50-50. I'll try and do half funny stuff and then half serious stuff. But then it's just the serious stuff sort of took over. But I like to think that I deliver it in a funny kind of way.
It is funny.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is funny. And that's... So, you've got to be funny, I think. You haven't got to be funny to get to reach people. But the more entertaining and comical it is, I think it hits home a lot better.
Yeah. A lot of people say that it's like... People just say that it's hilarious and it makes them laugh, and I'm like, "Well, it's serious shit." Like, do you know what I mean? It's like we're getting fucked. Like, people are dying, but they're like, "But your delivery makes it easier to cope." And I really love that, because I only thought that I was funny when I put on a wig and pretend to be somebody else and like do all those sketches of me running around my flat being a crazy person. But then when people are saying, "Oh, you're actually hilarious," that's quite... I love that, actually. It means I don't have to pretend to be somebody else to get people listening. Do you know what I mean? Because my whole thing was like, come here and look at how outrageous this is in the lockdown, and then stay for the important information.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Tell us about the events company. When did you start that?
So I started an events company in April 2015 called Blacks. It used to be called Blacks London. It used to be called Blacks UK, now it's called Blacks London. And it's not just an entertainment industry. It's not just an entertainment company. It's all kinds of events and mainly music industry related stuff. So we have licensing as well, which we have an exhibition project with the Rolling Stones. We have venues, we have events. We do a bunch of stuff. We do PR as well. And I just sort of, like, we set that up in 2015 as strictly just as events, and then we sort of branched out and did loads of other things, like album launches and stuff like that, and just sort of PR projects. And it sort of just one thing led to another, and before we knew it, we ended up actually ourselves and our like partner company end up finding investors, and then we bought venues. Because like before, we was like trying to get communications with other big events companies like Live Nation or Festival Republic, because we know a lot of people in bands, we know a lot of people in the music industry, artists. We never really got into music through the business side of things. We got in because I personally knew Noel, lots of big people in the music industry, like writers and performers as well. And then we were trying to just get correspondence from these big companies, and they'd always just blank us, always.
Yeah.
And then we decided, it was like, fuck it, like, let's just buy a venue. We stumbled across an investor and a brewing company at the time, and was like, let's just buy venues. And we ended up buying a fucking huge venue in London, which is on Leake Street, which we don't have anymore, but we will have. We had a bit of an issue with our old business partners. 26 Leake Street was one of our first venues.
Okay.
It's next door to House of Vans. And to be quite honest, although it was a good partnership at first, it ended up as a bad partnership, and a few things went a bit, you know, off. So those three companies, yeah. It was Blacks, Shout About London, and Lost Rivers. Lost Rivers, like, they was a brewery, and they just didn't keep up their end of the bargain. So then Blacks and Shout About, which is our partner company, just sort of went and did our own thing, and now we're back. And then we came back, and we bought a place in Hackney called Minus One, in 2020, but then of course the lockdown happened, and we lost everything.
Yeah.
Like, and we had to, because we only set up the new company in February that year, we had to furlough all our staff. We didn't get any government help whatsoever. But now we're back, and like we got the Rolling Stones deal, so we own the license for Black and White Blues, which is the very first pictures of the Rolling Stones taken when they were like teenagers in 1963. Wow. And yeah, we're doing a load of deals with them. We've just done a deal with Mercury Music for a BBC documentary. And yeah, nobody's got these pictures. I've been in the Stones office. They don't even have these images. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're completely as. So that's pretty crazy. So we're looking to... Well, we did do an initial... We released 10 of them. Again, in 2019, in November, and we was planning to take them on a world sort of tour exhibition, but pandemic. So then I was like, fuck it. I had nothing to do. I had nothing to do at all. So I was complaining about stuff on the internet, and started making funny videos of me pretending to have housemates, but it was just the boys, isn't it? So that was me.
So how did you start, when did you start posting all the political stuff then?
Oh, so, yeah, like, as soon as we realised that the venue was gone and we was fucked in, like, March, we had two events, it was fucking crazy. And then I was on my way, we was doing a show round for Channel 4, and I was on my way from the gym to the venue, and I was like, I got a phone call saying, oh, yeah, we can't have anyone at the venue anymore, we've got to close, the government's closing down all the venues, like, everything was fucked. And I remember being on a bus thinking, wow, this is really a thing. And then I came home. And, like, so I've always been the funny guy with me and my friends. And I've always been, like, Daniel Black's been, like, a funny character that I do. Just do stuff for fun. And going around festivals and just, like, making my friends look like idiots. Just for a laugh. I wasn't big on social media. It wasn't for any clout or anything like that. It was just, I was the funny guy. And then... So we had this lockdown, so I was like, okay, I'm going to do some more stuff. And I was doing the Quarantine With Me sketches, which I don't know if you've seen, when it's like Daniel and Clive and Nikki, and it was like come down with me, but like with quarantine. And we did that here. Well, I did that here. And like, it was really, actually, it's a really funny story. It was 2 weeks into the first lockdown, and the neighbours, I had these new neighbours, and I see them when I'm taking the bins out, and they're like, oh, we can hear you lot having a right laugh over there, man. We can hear you through the walls. And I didn't have it in me to tell him that it was just me pretending to be three different people. But anyway, I was just doing it to sort of entertain my friends, because we all worked in music and we didn't have anything. So I was just like trying to, you know, help them out a bit. And just, it was just a laugh. And then I was just creating these Things Notice videos, which used to be like 3 minutes long. And it was just like, oh, listen to this bullshit the government said, and this is what I think about it. And then they just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the George Floyd incident happened, and then I released a video, and that went viral. And, like, that was the first really, really serious thing that I'd done, when I was like, I'm a black person, this is my voice, this is what I've got to say. Like, I know you've been watching me on doing all this funny shit, but listen to this, this is what I think. And it went fucking, it went big, and I wasn't expecting that to happen at all. And then a lot of people, like, obviously my platform grew, and a lot of people started, like, relying on me, asking me to speak about certain things, saying, like, you're the only version of news that I watch. I get that, like, all the time. And I just thought, you know what, like, in 2018, I did a really long bout of therapy, because I was, I'm not going to lie, I was broken before. And I thought, people, like, it's such a tough time right now, and people can't, it's like, the news is tragedy. It's all tragedy. All the news is just, like, bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. And I thought, you know, if I'm in a really, really a uniquely mental space where I can actually consume this media and then put it back out as in a digestible news through my platform, and that helps people understand, as well as sort of making people smile in the process, even though the news is bad, and I'm good at that, then I'm just going to do it. And I've never done it for money. I do have a Patreon now, but, like, I've never done, like, it's never been about, oh yeah, this is the news, pay me some money, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I've never done that. I don't do sponsored partnerships, I don't do anything like that. It's just like, I believe that it's the right thing to do, and I actually wish that there was more people like me doing it, because there isn't. You know, there's a lot of clout chasers out there, there's a lot of people that just want to benefit from tragedy, and that's something that I'm not really into, do you know what I mean?
Like, yes. Yeah.
And if you notice, like, on my Instagram, which I do need to change, on my Instagram, there's no photographs of me. Like, it's never been about me. Do you know what I mean? I know I have my video every week, but it's never been about me. Oh, look at this. Look at me living this fucking great life or whatever. Because we're not living great lives. Let's be honest. We're not. I mean, like, I'm broke as fuck. I'm broke as fuck. Oh, like, we've only just managed to get our business back up and running. Like, all my friends are fucking going through hard times. Like, I'm not into that sort of self-glorification or sort of, you know, bringing attention to myself. I think the way that I see it is, my sort of mission statement is to make news digestible for people and try and influence people to do that, either the same as me or get into politics. A lot of people always say to me, you've got to get into politics, you've got to get into politics. And I was like,
please.
No, fuck. Please fuck, I'm not doing it. Like, hear me out. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not fucking doing it. It's fucking bollocks, blah blah blah. But recently,
why not though? In serious, why would you not? Because you're very articulate.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume from how you present yourself and your content, you're obviously intelligent enough to do it. Do you know what I mean? And you present yourself well. So, what is it about it that puts you off?
Well, first of all, everything you've said there is, like, that's really great. Thank you very much. But I got expelled from school. I'm not well educated. I am street smart. Like, I used to be a fucking criminal. I was, like, the street smartest guy ever. I was making a living just doing crime. Crime was the secret ingredient for me for a long period of time. But that's not, I'm not boasting. It wasn't fun. It definitely wasn't fun. But, like, I think when people say that I'm articulate, like, when I'm on a roll, I'm fine. But, like, I have a really bad start. When I record those videos, that's 2 hours of footage that I have. And, like, because I'm dyslexic and neurodivergent, I record 2 hours of footage and I get that down to 10 to 15 minutes.
Wow.
It's like I'm no good with speaking. Like, sometimes, like, incidents like this, I'm really, really good. If I just sort of, if I'm allowed to just continue and go on, I'm fine. Yeah. But if I'm, like, having to sort of rehearse something, like lines, I'm no good with lines. I can't do that. And sometimes, like, when I speak, the words don't come out in the right order. And, like, and this is all relatively new for me as well. I only actually found out that I was dyslexic 3 years ago.
Wow.
So, of course, like, everything just, that was a sort of, everything that when I was a kid and what I went through as a kid, it sort of answered a lot of questions as to why I was fucking dumb, basically.
Why did no one pick it up on it when you were younger?
I don't have a clue. Like, I don't have a clue. I don't know. I said to my mum, because my mum didn't know, like, I said to her, this was only, like, a couple of months ago, I was like, Mum, I'm dyslexic. And, like, she's like, oh, well, them's the breaks. Like, so what the fuck? Yeah, nice one, Mum, cheers. But, like, it was just crazy. Like, so when people say, like, why don't I get into politics? Like, I'm fully aware that I can't because of that reason.
Yeah.
And I probably could, and people would accept it, and it's fine. But I think that if I can influence other people to get... There's people that can say things a lot better than I can say things. There's people who've got a lot better ideas than mine, and a lot better... They've got a better voice than me. And if I can inspire them to get into politics, or bring them into politics, like, yeah. That's it. And but plus, like, this was... But me not wanting to get into politics is a very... It's a very last year, mate. I've just been away for work for 5 weeks. But I'm not allowed to say, but we've been working with members of parliament. And, yeah. Like, I can show you this one thing. Okay. I have a book from the House of Lords now. So, yeah. But I can't tell you anything else. But, you all will be revealed soon. I've literally signed a contract, so I can't say it.
That's fine. That's really exciting.
I went away for 5 weeks doing this project, and before I went there, I was like, I just said, fucking don't want a job in politics, fuck it. But now I'm like, give me a job in politics, like, I can totally do it. And that's what I want to do. I don't necessarily want the job in politics, I want to bring people in. We need to have more young people interested in politics, we need to have more marginalised people brought into politics, and if I can be that voice to sort of guide them into politics in a kind of way, then I'd love that, that'd be great.
Because I suppose you could always kind of do, like, work on the campaigns, or... do the support stuff in the background, like, rather than being the front person.
Exactly. Like, I don't like the idea of leadership anyway. I don't like the idea that one person leads one party that represents 30% of the country.
And that
by default represents all of the country. I don't believe that. But I do like the idea of, you know, bringing all of the people, a lot of people in the same place at the same time and saying, like, look how much power we have. We could do anything. That's what I like. I like that idea. Like, a committee of people to make decisions on behalf of a government, on behalf of a country. That would be great. Not one person and not a cabinet.
How would you change it? If you could, if they were said tomorrow, Danny, sort it out.
If what would somebody, you do? Okay. What, as in, are you asking me if I had a big idea?
Yeah.
My big idea, okay, like, I do things in a very logical way. So if someone was to say, like, you have one shot at being the prime minister or whatever, what is the one thing that you would change? And I'd be like, well, everybody seems to think that it's really ignorant, but people say, oh, they're all the same, right? All the politicians, they're all the same. I hate it. Like, I used to say that myself. But I hate it now. But I think the one of the things that I do is like, because I work so logically, is like building rapport and building trust is one of the most important things for me. So if someone was to say to me, you're the prime minister, what's your first policy? It would be to create a committee of people to control government finances. Because there's no such thing as government money. It's always public money. The government wastes £100 billion a year. They waste that on themselves, on their wages. Nobody asked us how much they should be paid. That's never been a question for us. And I think if I had a policy, it would be a question for us. So if they're wasting £100 billion a year... That kind of money can go into fucking 100... That's everybody's energy for a year, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that's free services. That's you know, it's everything. It's like childcare, it's youth care, it's money for the NHS. Like, if I had a big policy, it would be to build trust between the public and the government by slashing government wages, slashing their expenses, and having a body, an independent body, that monitors all the government spending. So we can't have Boris Johnson spending £250 million on a boat. We can't have millions of pounds spent on the fucking Big Ben, do you know what I mean? Like, Big Ben's a tourist attraction, so's Windsor Castle, but we're not fucking refurbing Windsor Castle, are we? Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that would be... My one thing is to build trust, and that's by putting money in their pockets of people, by putting them in charge of the money in the first place. Because it is our money, it's their money, you know? So that would be my big policy if I was to do it. And then, of course, like, people would then, as I said, it would build that element of trust, and people would be like, oh, well, no, we can trust this government because they're allowing us to spend money on what we need to be spent on. And I'm not saying, like, give the people control and that's it. There'd be economic experts, environmentalists, whatever involved. But I'm just saying, give the people the green light on every penny that is spent. That would be my thing.
Yeah. So I think if people were more, felt more included, they'd be more engaged with it. I feel like a lot of people just feel so, like, politics is nothing to do with them. Like, if they're fortunate enough not to feel the effects of... Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I have friends who are quite wealthy and white. So they don't want to talk about politics, because why would they?
Oh, it's ignorance is bliss. Like, yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's weird, because they're like they're the small amount of people. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're the small, but the majority of people are struggling. So it's those are the people that we need to get more involved. You know.
You say that. I mean, and I do believe that it is definitely the majority that are struggling. But it, like, I live in East London, so near, we've got a massive Westfield shopping centre in Stratford.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I went for dinner on Friday, and it was rammed. Absolutely rammed. Like, the people that are there have got money. And I know, obviously, London is an affluent area, but it's like, I do think that there are still quite a few people that are actually quite all right. And I don't understand how so many of us are really fucked at the moment, and things are getting worse.
Yeah.
But some people, I mean, don't seem to be affected at
all. There's that saying, it's the turkeys voting for Christmas, right? That's what people are saying. And I do agree. And I think that's just down to, it is just down to the media, isn't it? And like, remember when it used to be a conspiracy, when people used to say, oh, the media is controlled. But like, when Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister, she blatantly said, she's like, yeah, we have meetings with the head of the press, all the time, the editor of the Times or the Daily Mail, and we have meetings with them and see what we can do for each other. Like, she just sort of blew that open when people was like, when people that were saying that was like being treated as pariahs, in a sense, it's like, oh, tinfoil hats. But like, she blatantly was like, her and Reagan was like, yeah, we meet with the press all the time. And that is something that has been proved now in recent times with I think it was the Times, when they was trying to talk about Carrie Johnson and Boris being caught doing some cunnilingus or whatever it was. Yes. And then they had meetings to like suppress the story, and that ended up being a massive story in itself.
Yep.
It's like the press have such a big role to play in who people vote for. Like, you know, everybody thinks that Jeremy Corbyn is a racist, so...
Yeah, I know. It's mental. I know, that still blows my mind.
I was with somebody the other day, when I was on this project, I was with a Jewish person, and he was like, yeah, he's an anti-Semite. And I was like, have you seen how much... Because I did a story a while ago about how much anti-Semitism was actually in the Conservative government. Nobody ever talks about it. It is abundant there, and nobody ever talks about it.
Yeah. Has it ever been explained to you about why Jeremy Corbyn has been... I mean, I don't know him, so I don't know.
Right.
But I just always... I was a big supporter of him, and I like to think that I am not racist in any way,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't understand how that was true. And I do have Jewish friends who believe that, and I've asked them to explain to me why, and they haven't.
Yeah, so it's exactly, do you know why? No, it's pretty much just like, there was a few incidents, and he, like... Like many people in an awkward situation, he, like, didn't really pay enough attention to it or whatever. But because, not because he didn't want to, more is because he didn't feel like it was his place, I think. But, like, realistically, like, I don't know. He could have dealt with it, like, a lot better, but it's not... Dealing with something in a better way does not make you an anti-Semite. It doesn't. Do you know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that many people in their lifetimes have seen racial attacks. I've been attacked, and I've seen people not getting involved. That doesn't make them racist. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
That's as far as I go with the subject, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't believe he's an anti-Semite at all.
Yeah, I don't. But then also, it's a real hard conversation because I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you? Do you know what I mean?
It's I know. Like, you know? When I speak to people, it's like they don't really know what they're. It's like they don't know what they're saying. Like, do you know what I mean? And these are Jewish people. It's like they don't know why they hate him so much. And like I said, when I spoke to a good friend of mine, Adam, the other day, I was like you see all of this. There's so much more, like, actual racism and anti-Semitism in the Conservative Party. And he was like, yeah, but I didn't know about that. It's like, well. Are you gonna say anything about this party, or are you just focusing on Jeremy Corbyn? Then, like, it's mental.
But Boris Johnson has been openly racist.
He has, yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah, it's absolutely
because
fine.
Because he can get away with it because he's an idiot. Oh, yeah. Right.
I think, like, as well as, like, people know what they was voting for when they voted for Boris. They knew he was a liar. He got sacked from two jobs for being a liar prior to this. And those jobs were in the press as well. Like, and so when you point out things to them about Boris Johnson, I mean, like, they can't really say anything, can they? Because they knew full well what they was voting for. They knew that he was just a character. I once watched an interview on, I think it was BBC News. This was years ago when Boris Johnson was the mayor of London. And somebody asked his dad, a reporter asked his dad, why Boris Johnson got so much support. And his dad, his own dad was like, yeah, because he looks like a buffoon. He looks like a character. And then his dad said that. And like, he's, first of all, if my dad called me a buffoon, I'd be like, fuck this guy. Yeah. But like the fact that like it's, that was his, it seems like it was his, the plan all along. Like, do you know what I mean? Just 100%. act like an idiot and people will vote for you because it's like some sort of charm, I guess.
Yep, it's non-threatening. It's like the thing with the bus, wasn't it? With the Boris bus.
Yeah.
With the NHS thing. And then he was interviewed talking about making toy buses or something.
Yeah, making them out of wine boxes. Yeah, that's right.
So when you Google it, that's what you find out about.
But like, but Boris Johnson, I actually was going to do this post, but I don't think I'm going to do it now because he's resigning. I was going to do this post about Boris's like violent history. So, did you know about this? I've got it here. So there was the Bullingdon Club, which he was in, where, like, people would just, like, you know, like, they said that the whole culture was extremely, just to get extremely drunk and exert vandalism every time that someone was elected. And they used to go around trashing places and causing serious criminal damage. They found it amusing if people were intimidated or frightened by their behaviour. And there's one incident of them walking down Oxford with their tails and top hats, chanting and smashing bottles and trying to scare people in the streets. And this is Boris Johnson, like he was one of their sort of ringleaders.
Yeah.
And then there's a quote here. Boris was one of the big beasts of the club. He was up for anything. He treated certain types of people with absolute disdain and referred to them as plebs or grockles. The police were always called plod. And their attitude towards women was that women were there for their own entertainment.
Yes.
And and then, of course, Boris, in his late in his career as a journalist, was helping somebody arrange to get another journalist beaten up. That happened. Yes. And then there was an altercation with Carrie Simmons, where the police was called and they heard Carrie screaming in "Get off!" in their flat at the time, and also his dad was a woman beater as well. Like, so I actually think Boris Johnson, like as much as the image that is shown as him being a buffoon, I actually think he's a very sinister and an evil person. Yeah. That's what I think he is, really.
Yeah, I agree. Do you follow Led by Donkeys?
I do follow... No, I don't follow Led by Donkeys. Okay, I'll explain why. Which I'm sure you'll know. You'll know my attitude towards these types of people. Which, they're like, fair play to them. They're doing their thing. But, like... I've reached out to Led by Donkeys and I've reached out to like loads of people, hundreds of people, saying, look, you've got a platform, I've got a platform, let's make actual change. It's all good going on the internet, complaining, making funny posts, making memes, making fools of politicians, but like, you're just getting likes. That's all you're fucking doing.
Yeah,
Let's turn these likes into action. And every time I've ever reached out to anybody, it's been ghosted. And that's like, and that goes for Led by Donkeys, it goes for Double Down News, who are really good friends of mine as well. Like, I've said, we've got to do something, we have to do something. And they'll just be like, oh no. And that's why I don't, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, because they don't reply to my messages, so I absolutely don't know. But like,
sad.
We're not, so as you know, I set up the Blacks List, which was to try and get everybody in the same place, and I was like, yeah, this will be it, we'll get to 10,000 fucking signatures on this list, and then we can actually go to the press and we can start doing stuff properly. Like, and I spoke to like Femi Sorry and Double Down News and Led by Donkeys and Shit You Should Care About and whatever, and never get a response. And it's kind of like these, and like, put it this way, I know that these people are earning money through their platforms, and I'm not earning money through my platform. And that's all I have to say. Like, Led by Donkeys, like, they've got loads of Patreons. I don't. I have, like, what, 50? Do you know what I mean? Like, these other people are earning a load of money. I know of, and I don't want to say their name, I know of one sort of social justice Instagram page that makes £10,000 a month. They aren't paying any tax, and they're not doing anything. So, you know... These are not the same people who I am. Do you know what I mean? And hopefully Like, I've called them out plenty of times. Like, I will not share any of their stuff. People send me their stuff, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm not doing it. Do you know what I mean? I want real action. I want real change. I don't want fucking clout chasing, fucking looking for followers, looking for likes. I don't want it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I do follow Led by Donkeys, but you know, yeah, it's all good. Put a fucking projection on the side of fucking House of Commons, but what are you actually doing to change anything? Do you know what I mean? And I'm just one person, and I'm not saying that I've done anything, but I'm like, you know, I've arranged protests where only 20 people have turned up, and I've still fucking marched to Downing Street.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
20 people. There's still, you got 20 people to turn up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like, these other companies can do so much more. Do you know what I mean? Like, they can. But that's the hint in the name. They are companies. They are making money. Do you know what I mean? I'm not here for money. I'm not here for clout. I don't give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I won't mix with those people. Like,
cause that's,
you know,
the danger of social media, isn't it? So my friend talks about this, is it, mate? Like, because I get really angry and I share stuff. But that's all I do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, you've got to actually fucking do something.
Yeah. I mean, I am all for just sharing stuff. Like, you know, like, at least you're sharing stuff. But when people, like, you know, are sort of, like, looking at people like Led by Donkeys and DDN and being like, oh, yeah, these are great. These are great people. It's like, what are they actually doing? Do you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
What are they actually doing with all of their money, which they are owing a lot of? What are they doing with that? Do you know what I mean? Like... and I think that's where I sort of fall out of that category, because I have my business and I have my job anyway, so I don't, you know, whether if my Instagram was to go tomorrow, I would still be able to make my rent, do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
Whereas, like, with people that have sort of utilized the tragedy of the government to their financial benefits, which, like, I could be wrong, maybe they don't, but I know for a fact that a lot of them do. Like, I think that's wrong, do you know what I mean? So whenever, and that's the thing, people send me stuff all the time, and I'm just like, I'm not fucking sharing this. Unless I see these people actually doing something, I don't want anything to do with them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My inbox will always be open to them, but and people have commented on my things like, you should do stuff with Led by Donkeys, and I've replied like, yeah, my door's always open to them. It's in your court. You think they reach out? No, they'll never reach out. They never will. That's the thing, because they're on a different level. You know, they're doing things for different reasons.
Okay, that's interesting.
I mean, like, it's not even a case of, like, I could be sitting here and lying, but what are they doing? Have you seen them do anything, realistically? Yeah. Do you know?
No.
It's just,
I mean,
it's
like
just very,
do,
yeah,
but, yeah,
it's just, it's very funny, it's very gimmicky, it's like, there's no progress, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How do you get your information?
Oh, man, the TV's, like, off right now. But I just literally sit down, I have four split screens on my TV, and I'm just watching news all day, every day. That's all I do. Watching news. If I see something, I'll research it, and I watch news from different countries, different areas as well. Because, like, we don't, you know, we don't see a lot of the news anyway. So I try and watch like, I watch a lot of Vice, I watch a lot of sort of online news channels, and I just, like, I don't actually like social media, regardless of me, you know, going back to the reasons why I just said, that's one of the reasons I don't like social media. But I do go on social media, I go on Twitter a lot, even though I don't use Twitter, I go on Twitter a lot to find out a lot of sort of stories from people's point of views. So how it's affecting them in their areas or whatever, you know, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty much how I get it. But I don't do it, like, too much. Because that's the whole point of my things being called Things Noticed. It's just what I notice along the way of living my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do tend to go on Twitter a lot and just scroll and just find out.
How do you have time to do that and work?
So I own the business, so we have staff.
Okay.
So I'm fine. I'm like one of the owners. There's like two of us. It's fine.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So yeah, like, I just do, you know. I mean, realistically, like, I'm always working, always.
Yes.
So, you know, I just do have time. Like, it's just what I love doing. It's like a hobby for me, isn't it? Like, doing the social media stuff.
But what a fucking good hobby to have, though. Trying to create change.
It's better than stealing cars.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, where did you grow up?
In Wolverhampton.
Okay.
That answers a few questions, doesn't it? So yeah, it was Wolverhampton, like,
yeah,
that's a place.
Yeah,
so yeah, my like, and I'm let's not dress it up. I grew up in a very sort of... I was lucky to grow up in a decent part of Wolverhampton. And then it was in my sort of late teenage years, I sort of lost my way a bit. And so did my brother. My brother's in prison. He's in prison for murder. Which is like everyone
fucking
knows.
Hell.
It's like common knowledge. And like, it's sort of like he went back into it and I sort of stayed out of it.
Yeah.
And like, I sort of just moved to London and sort of just struggled to sort of keep away from everything that was sort of tempting me back into Wolverhampton and tempting me back into that sort of lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I failed a lot as well. Like, I did still go into criminality quite a bit, but then I sort of shook it off when I wanted to, you know, sort my life out and sort of set up a business and make a career of myself. So, yeah.
How did you get into doing what you're doing?
Oh, so I'm always good at throwing parties. I was, like, really, really good at throwing parties. Like, I remember when I was a kid, in school, my mum used to go, she used to work at a bingo hall on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights. And we used to have parties, like full-on parties in my mum's house. Like, she used to finish at like 11 o'clock at night. We used to have these big fucking parties in the middle of a week, school's the next day, two parties, Tuesday and Wednesday. It was fucking mental. And then like, she'd come back and she never knew. She never knew. Like, the house was pristine, like, when she got back. And we didn't have social media then. We didn't have cameras, didn't have camera phones. Like, yeah. I just used to wing it. And she never fucking knew. So I've always been really, really good at organisation and organising parties. And, like, so one day, I was just, where was I? I was in St Albans. I lived in St Albans. And somebody asked me to design flyer for his night, to design this flyer, because I'm really good at art. So I did. And then, went to this event, and I was like, he didn't know what he was doing. It was ran like shit. And I was like, oh. So I sort of accidentally took over the running of this party in a place called The Vintry in St Albans. And then I ended up doing it. And then end up, like, they fired him, and they got me to do it. And I just accidentally fell into this role of organising events on, like, a Wednesday night.
What kind of night was it?
Oh, it was like we had bands on. It was like loads of bands, loads of DJs. And it was on a Wednesday night. And I sort of fell into just doing these events, doing these nights. And then a band like from around St Albans called Enter Shikari, they're actually really big now.
Yes, they was I like, know them.
Can you? Yeah, they're like my best mates now. They was like, can you arrange a party for us? And I was like, yeah, okay. And then they was like, can you arrange a load of parties for us and go on tours and arrange parties with them on tour? And then through them, loads of other bands came along. And then before I knew it, it was like 2015. And I'd organised an album launch on a double-decker bus driving through London. And I was like, shit, man, I should set up a company. I should really, really do it. And then I did. And after that, I had a place in Old Street where we used to do like these really crazy parties where it was like, you could smoke indoors, and like, and it was a music studio, so all these famous people were there all the time. Harry Styles came there, like, Coldplay had a studio there, Wolf Alice had a studio there, like, it was insane. And so, like, we just had these parties there, like, pretty much every week. And I set up the business. Then I got asked by my friend's company, he did corporate events, he was like, yeah, we should do events together. And then we did, and then we end up finding another company to buy venues with. So it was all an accident. Like, I designed one flyer and then I just ended up just doing this, which I didn't think I'd want to do it, but I love it. It's the best job in the world. I think so anyway.
And also, you're obviously very good. If you manage to have parties in your mum's house that she never knew about, I mean, that's like a superpower.
There was this, there was this one time. So my mum bought this new fucking dog. It's just shit dog, like a whippet. And basically my friend Louis, he was a fucking liability. He was so drunk, he broke my mum's patio door. Like, he broke the glass on it. And then I just blamed it on the dog. And my mum believed it. Because this dog wouldn't stop jumping up this door. And I was like, the dog just jumped up the window, just cracked the window on the door. And then my mum, this is really bad, she's like, I'm going to have it put down. And I was like, yeah, whatever. She thought I cared about the dog. She thought I'd, like, fess up or something. I don't know. But, like, she was like, yeah, I'm going to have it put down. And they went all the way to the fucking thing. And then And then they came back and was like, nah, couldn't do it. But I never broke the lie. I was just like, nah, it was the dog. The dog broke the door.
But does she actually stay or not?
No, I think she knew at some point, because I remember at one point she said, I still don't believe to this day that that Cassie broke that door. And I was just like, yeah, all right. I don't care what you believe. That's what I said happened, so it happened. But yeah, it was a bit of an art form at one point. There was actually one time when, God, it was so weird. There was one time when we did have a party, and it was just before I was moving to London, and I was like, fuck it, I don't care. Because my mum was decorating anyway, so I was like, let's just fucking wreck the house. But it wasn't a conscious decision that I said, let's wreck the house. It's like, it just got to a certain point, and I was like, I remember writing a note saying, sorry, mum, had a party, and then we all left. And then she came back, she was like, what have you done to my house? And like, but we won her over because all my friends was carpenters, so I was like, oh yeah, we'll just do some free work around the house, and it was fine. So yeah, it was funny. Those were funny times.
So when did you move to London?
I moved when I was 18.
Wow, just not knowing anyone.
No, I knew my dad. My dad lived here.
Okay.
And so I moved in with him. But yeah, I didn't know anyone else. Like, I originally came down to... So I used to design clothes back in Wolverhampton. Like, I was just... It was another... Just a hobby that I was into. I just liked to make my own clothes. And then I was meant to move down to go to a college of fashion.
Yeah.
But then I had an argument with my stepmom. She's a stupid bitch. So, I fell out with my dad. And then I had to move out. And then I was literally on my own in London. And, yeah, I got a job in a nightclub. And,
So you didn't go to the London?
I didn't do it, no. No, I really wanted to. I never did it, no.
Would you ever go back to that?
Yeah, I still make clothes for myself. I design a lot of my own stuff. Yeah. If I've got something special going on, I'll, like, make something. But I probably wouldn't... What?
Do you sew?
Yeah.
Do it all?
Yeah. Wow. I hand sew and I've got a machine and everything, yeah.
God, you're really creative.
I am quite creative, yeah. But, yeah, I've still got something. There's a sewing machine here, actually. But, like, every time, if there's something that I really, really want, or I really just have it in my head, I'll just fucking make it, you know?
Oh, that's so lovely. I'd love to be able to do that.
Or if it's, like, Halloween, costume, like, I always make a Halloween costume and it's fucking sick. So last year I made, I don't know if you can see it, last year I made that, where is it? That thing up there, that's a big paper mache head. It's the girl from Squid Game.
Yeah.
So I made a big head and I put it on and I made the dress and that's what I did for a laugh.
That's wicked.
Yeah, it's fun. But I don't think I'd ever do it for anybody else. Like, yeah. I'd probably design, but I don't think I'd make for anybody else. I made for people like before when I was literally doing it by hand. I'd probably design something, but I don't think I'd make anything physically.
Yeah. So have you got an office in London, or do you just all work from home?
Yeah, I do have an office, yeah, in St Catherine's Dock,
okay,
where the new venue is. It's all right, yeah, the Queen's got a boat outside of there. So when she dies, I'm going to climb onto the boat, have a party. Like, it was just like this gold boat there, it's like a gold boat, and I'm like, that's all my ancestors' fucking gold. It's mine. Like, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's like right behind the Tower of London in St Catherine's Dock. That's our new venue. There. So we have offices there.
Oh, what is it? What venue is it?
Oh, so it used to be the London Medieval Banquet Place.
Oh, wow.
People used to go down and dress up as like Tudors or whatever. And they used to have a jester and they used to eat and stuff. So yeah, we bought that. Now we've just got the building work approved there. So yeah, that's where we'll be opening this year.
So what kind of events are you going to have in there?
Everything. I'll probably do New Year's because I love having New Year's parties. But we'll be doing World Cup. We'll be doing loads of eating stuff there. I mean, that's only one venue. We've got another, which I'm not allowed to talk about. We've got another two that we will have by the end of the year in London.
Wow.
So we'll do everything. Like, we'll do, there's one big one that we're looking at in the middle of London, like in the middle of the West End of London. That we're looking to turn into a big music venue, like a live music venue.
Oh, that'd be good, because they're fucking shut loads, aren't they?
Exactly. I think that's kind of like an advantage that we have. Like, with the pandemic, a load of places shut down. But our investor was just like wanted us to buy more venues. So we just like put offers in wherever you can. There's a big gap in the market. Let's try and get them. And that's what we've tried. And it seems like it's working out.
Yeah. And how have you, so you're doing events, are you continuously doing events?
I mean, yeah, yes and no. So the venues, like, they allow us to have other people doing events at the spaces and we just make the money off that. But like, because I love doing the events and I love the creative side of events, like I'll, every now and then I'll just like, I want to do New Year's or I want to do Halloween or I want to do this album launch for my friend's band or, you know, I'll do whatever. And so it just gives us that freedom. Which is probably why I don't have to get up and go to work 9 to 5 every day, you know?
How have you found stuff since kind of life's getting back to normal?
Oh, man, anxious. Really anxious. So, like, I've always been a bit of a loner, but I never thought that that was actually true. As in, so before, we used to have events. I used to be out 2, 3, 4 times a week at events, doing events, working events, my own events, whatever. And then when the pandemic happened, I thought I was going to struggle. But actually, I really, really loved it. I thrived. Like, I created this whole new thing, this whole new version of myself, didn't I? And then when stuff started to reopen, I was like, I go out and I'm out for like 15 minutes. Like, I couldn't go home. Like, I just want to go home.
Yeah.
And I also, like, realised that I don't like a lot of people as well. not like actual people. It's just I don't like a lot of types of people.
Yeah.
And I'll be out and I'll just be talking over. I need to go home. I just need to just go away from them. So yeah, like anxious really. I've never suffered from anxiety, but I do get anxious from like just being out in places. Like I hosted an award for the Amazon Heavy Music Awards. Was that last year? And like I thought, I was really excited to go up there. I went up there, and you know, I was just in this sort of like waiting area, and there was hundreds of people in there, and it was just a lot. And I was just a bit worried about COVID and whatever. But I don't really like being out, but I love the idea of being out. That's me. Yeah. I love throwing parties and being at parties, and I like it in my head when I play it out in my head. I'm like, yeah, this is sick. But then, like, realistically, I'd rather just be out with, like, 1 or 2 friends, you know?
I hear that. I always get excited about going to gigs. I used to go to gigs a lot, and then I book them. And I was supposed to go and see Thundercat
in April. Oh, that was recently, right?
Yeah, in April. It got moved. It was, like, supposed to happen 2 years prior, but it was supposed to be at the Roundhouse, and then they moved it to Brixton. But I was taking my eldest daughter, who's 11, and I wasn't... I didn't really want to take her all the way to Brixton just because it's not the other side of the world, but it feels like it. And also, I don't know about that venue. The Roundhouse is nice because you can just sit. I mean, well, I assumed
it. Oh, man, the Roundhouse is good, yeah.
And it's just easy. But it turns out I wasn't well anyway. But there was a comedian that ended up opening for him that I'm gutted that I missed because I really like him and I can't think of his name. I share a lot of his stuff as well.
A comedian? Not Dame Baptiste or something?
No.
No?
Oh, he does the songs. Hmm. Like parody songs.
Not Al Yankovic, no?
No, he's English.
That guy from the IT Crowd?
No.
Matt Berry?
No.
Really?
No, it's who's a black guy.
I don't know. You're going to have to find him.
I'll find him. My memory is so bad. I can't remember anyone's names. I can't remember anything. It's because I'm fucking getting me menopause, I think. Oh, what's his name? What is his name? But then the week after I had Robert Glasper.
Okay.
In a church in Hackney, which was the most amazing gig ever. And Common came out.
Oh, really?
Fucking no Common. Way. Yeah. It was amazing. Sick. But I was like, I don't think I would have made it if I'd have gone to see Thundercat the week before.
Yeah.
Because I just can't. It was really lovely being there, but it just feels like it's such an effort to get out of the house.
Isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah. I live in Maida Vale, and
nobody
ever comes. Nobody ever comes to Maida Vale. It's like, this is probably why I was, what? Why? It's funny. Nobody ever comes here. Like,
it's too far.
Nobody. It's so peaceful here. It's great. But like, I live here. So like, it is a mission to get to anywhere. But I walk everywhere, mainly. Like, I can, Maida Vale is one of those places where, so it takes me 30 minutes to walk to Camden, or it'd take me 30 minutes on public transport. You know what I mean?
And that's nice the same for walk, not get on the tube.
It is. Oh no, yeah, I hate the tube, especially in this weather as well, though.
Sorry, I found
it's him. It's alright.
Right. I can't pronounce his name. Him?
Oh, fucking Munya Chihuahua. Yeah.
That's the one.
Fucking
I
hell.
Yeah, he opened for Thundercat.
Okay, that's cool. No, I was like, really cool.
I fucking like him. But yeah, with Maida Vale, is that on the Central or Bakerloo? Bakerloo line, yeah. I mean, it's
like I can walk to Oxford Circus, I can walk to Camden, I can walk to Kensington, which I do all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I like it here. It's very green.
Yes,
it's almost lovely. It's almost like suburbs, but it's not really because it's so close to central London.
But are you finding it more anxious getting on the tube now than you used to?
Yeah, definitely. Like, the tube's just dirty and hot, isn't it? You know?
Oh,
like,
especially at the moment.
Have you been on that new Elizabeth line? Elizabeth line is, like, so clean. Oh, wow.
I don't need to, because it doesn't benefit me. I can't believe that people travelled to get on it. That kind of behaviour. People come
what
down
do you mean?
From up north and queued so they could get on the first.
Oh, really?
I don't understand that behaviour.
That's weird.
It's weird, isn't it?
I mean, I do like the Elizabeth line because, so Paddington is right by me, and Elizabeth line, with that, it now takes me 20 minutes to get to East London, whereas before it used to take me 40 minutes to get to East London.
Oh, that's
good. So when I used to have the venue in Old Street, it would be here to Maida Vale to, where was it? Oxford Circus to fucking Euston. Then Euston to Old Street.
Yeah,
and that was 45 minutes, sometimes even 50 minutes. And now it's just 20 minutes. Easy. It's so good.
That is good. Well, that's one good thing to come out of the Queen.
Yeah. A line. A drain
fucking
line.
Tube.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me. It's been really lovely.
Anytime. No, it's been nice.
What's next?
Oh, well, I'm not really allowed to say, am I?
Of course you're not. Right. That's funny, because I was going to say to you, can I talk about what you've just done? Did you approach them, or did they approach you for whatever it was?
They approached me, and I said no initially, and then I was like, yeah. And then I was like, yeah, fuck it. So what's next? So basically, I'm planning to do... So I've got a lot of comedian friends and people I know who are comedians, and... they've said to me that I should do a stand-up, but as I've said to you earlier, that I can't remember anything. So stand-up is a lot of routine, and I can't do that. But I have decided that I'm doing live podcasts, which are just going to be more like a conversation with the audience.
Yep.
Because I'm really good with just having conversations and just telling people funny stories from my life and experiences and answering questions and whatever. Yeah. So we're going to do that at 21 Soho this year in September. So I'll be doing that. And that is the same month that something else is going to be announced, which I'm not allowed to talk about.
So that's when it is September.
Yeah. And then after that, I am planning on... We've been writing a show for a while now, over a year. I say we all the time. It's not... Because I talk about my characters like they're other people. That's probably the first sign of me going mad. So we've been writing on a show. And it is actually a reimagining of TFI Friday.
So my
whole idea is I work in music. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So my whole idea is I love TFI Friday. I work in music. I have venues. Let's try and put that all together and remake it in a way. And so we're trying to. I don't want to. As much as I do love sort of. The idea of my sort of Things Notice videos getting traction and giving people news, I think that we can find a better vehicle to deliver it in. So we've been, for over a year now, I've been putting together a version of TFI Friday, which is called OFI Sunday, which I really want to create and put in the ether. And like, you know, we have the venues. As you know, I've been doing these videos now. So I really want to turn that into something. And hopefully that will be what we do next. And then we have a longer version of the news every Sunday with some music as well. Sort of like that playing on that wicked nostalgia. So it's playing on that old nostalgia of like Live and Kicking and stuff and SMTV and sort of having it funny and having all my characters there and having my friends there, because it's really isolating just doing all this stuff on my own. So I really want to just turn it into a proper thing, like for free, just for people, just for fun, you know, because if I'm completely honest, I'm just a bit bored right now. So I'd just rather just do it with a bunch of my best friends, you know. We like, I did it when I couldn't be, I set up my thing and my things noticed when I couldn't be with anybody else. And now that I can be with somebody else and I can be with other people, and I've essentially set up my own production company by just having my fucking phone here and editing. I've never edited before. I did it all myself. So now I've created all that. I think that we can sort of lift it and just make it bigger.
That sounds wicked.
So that's the plan anyway.
How were you in lockdown?
I was great. I loved it so much.
You did. You were like,
I would do another. I'd do another lockdown in a heartbeat. I really would. Yeah, I loved it. Like, I really, really did. Like, I thought I was going to struggle. I really thought I was going to have a bad time. But it just, it sort of just gave me the perfect opportunity to just do whatever I wanted to do. Like, I've been working straight in the music and events industry for over 5 years without a break. Yeah. And if you speak to a lot of my friends who are in bands as well, they'll say the same thing. Like, it's recording, writing, tour cycle. In the music industry, it's all the same.
Yeah.
And what the lockdown did was it forced us to give ourselves that time, which otherwise we wouldn't have had, you know?
So
I loved it.
Oh, good. Good for you. Sick.
Yeah, thanks. How was you in the lockdown?
The first one was great. I sunbathed. The kids were fine. Yeah. They didn't have that much schoolwork. Because no one really knew what the fuck was going on, did they? And the weather was nice, so it was actually quite nice. I didn't miss getting up and doing the school run at all.
No.
It was...
I do have to admit, those days, like first lockdown, that weather was fucking great. Like, everywhere was dead. There was nothing. Like, you could go to a big supermarket and there'd be nobody in there. Yeah. And it'd just be like, the one. I love that.
The one thing I do regret is we didn't go into town. Because a lot of people were just going in and saying, because all the streets were empty in London, weren't they?
Yeah, I love that. I
didn't do that. And tubes were running, weren't they? I can't remember now. But, like, we didn't do that. And I wish we... Because we were there just before the first lockdown started. We went for dinner in Oxford Circus.
Okay.
And that was weird. It was like... Yeah. What's that zombie film?
28 Days Later.
Yeah, it was like that. And it was a bit
like that. Because that's in London. Weird. Yeah.
But,
mad.
But yeah, I didn't do that. But yeah, I was fine. But then there was a weird one in November, wasn't there, for a bit. And then the one like at Christmas, that done me. Because then by then, all the schools were properly set up. So I'm very lucky. I've got my computer that I work on and my old computer. So my kids were fine. They could sit doing their work. But then obviously I couldn't work. So then when they finished, that's when I had to start. But then they wanted me for stuff. So that was hard.
Shit.
And the weather was shit and it was cold and it was...
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that. Okay. And because it had just been going on for ages then, hadn't it? It was a bit like...
Yeah, it was like pretty long, wasn't it? Yeah.
End. Christmas was cancelled. It was just all...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, I remember.
But yeah, I didn't... One. We were lucky. Like, we did lose a couple of people, but it was kind of, they were old, and even though it was horrible, it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, that still sucks though.
It still sucks, but it's compared to some, like I know people lost multiple members of their family and stuff. Didn't
yeah,
some
same, people that's fucking, like a lot, yeah.
Yeah, had it really hard, so yeah, I can't complain too much.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough. Oh. So what are you doing next? What's your plan?
What am I doing next?
You got to edit this video, right?
I've got to edit this video, yeah. I've got a... What I'd really like to do is not have to do anything else and I could just do the podcast all the time because I just really enjoy it, but unfortunately, I still have to work, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to build this more. But it's just time. Yeah. It takes time. Social media is so time-consuming.
Yeah, that's why I don't go on it. Like, I genuinely just do my posts and I'm just like, fucking, you lot can argue amongst yourselves. Yeah. I just step away from it. Like,
it is, yeah.
It's a lot.
But yeah, I need to set up a Patreon. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with the videos, I can just put them on there. Because it's a bit like, I don't really know what else I can offer. Do you know what I mean? Like, people pay a certain amount and they get more stuff, but it's like, I don't know what I'll do, really.
And you do it from home, right? And you set up the... what's the thing? There's a thing that you have to set up to make sure podcasts go out to everywhere, right? What's it called?
Yes. I do it on Acast.
Like you do it on Acast. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's pretty long. So I did we did a podcast for a while, but it was only until just before I went away. So we're coming back in September to start doing it with a podcast network. So we've got a podcast studio in Hackney now. And we're trying to get loads of people to record. So if you ever need a studio to record at, if that's your thing, it's actually in, where is it? Dalston. It's in Dalston.
Okay, yeah.
So if you ever need a place, let us know.
Oh, thank you. I will do.
No problem.
Oh, it's lovely to meet you. Thank you very much. So yes, that was the incredible Danny fucking Price. Obviously, you need to follow him on the socials if you don't already. If you want to hit me up about anything we discussed, please do. I love him. I can't believe he's Goldie's son. I honestly had no idea, which is hilarious because they very much look alike, but I just had no idea. It was interesting to find out more about him and not just about what he kind of posts, if you know what I mean. So yeah, it was wicked, and I wish him all the best in everything that he's doing. I'm excited about what he's got going on. But yeah, it was, loved it. I hope you did too. If you have any guest suggestions or you want to come on, please get in touch. I'm always looking for someone to talk to. Mum and Mama Pod on all the socials, mumandmamapod@gmail.com. Just get in touch. Get in touch just to say hi. Hi. Have a lovely day. Thank you for listening. If this is your first time, then I've had so many wonderful conversations with all different kinds of people. So check out my back catalogue. There will be something there you will enjoy, I promise. And I have loads of exciting people coming up as well. My most recent episode, actually, well, one of the most recent ones, with Jordan Gray, who's just... she's a comedian who's at the Edinburgh Fringe, who's getting 5-star reviews. So if you've heard about her, then have a listen to our chat, because we had a good old chat about everything, actually. That was really lovely. But yes, I'm going to stop babbling. Enjoy. Big love to you all. Stay safe and sane, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.